You know, it's tough to comprehend sometimes how in a world where there's Facebook and Instagram, where we always have our phones with us so we can text or call or FaceTime, where we honestly have more ways of connecting with people than we've ever had, that loneliness could be such a serious issue for so many people. I mean, we all know what loneliness feels like. And often just because someone appears to be outgoing and social on the outside doesn't mean that they're not privately struggling with loneliness. Well, this week on Discover the Word, the group's been talking about the pain of alone. Now, there are a lot of passages in Scripture in which that pain is obvious. And so today we're going to look at one other facet of this pain, the emotional toll that intense loneliness takes on us. So pull your chair up, be part of today's conversation next. And it is good to have you here as we close out week one of our two-week series called You Are Not Alone. In a lot of ways, this has been a tough week, hasn't it? Not really our most uplifting week of Discover the Word ever. But seriously, I think we're going to find that, in a sense, staking out the territory of loneliness like this is going to prove to be a really helpful foundation for next week coming to a better understanding of God's provision for us in the pain of alone. There is optimism in that title we've given this study, You Are Not Alone. And we'll see that come together next week. Now, it's a regular group of four friends engaged in these conversations. Elisa Morgan is leading Marty Hahn and Bill Crowder and Daniel Ryan Day in exploring this together. And remember that this entire series is available on our discovertheword.org website. Anything you miss or would like to review, or if you'd like to point a friend to the table, well, discovertheword.org is the place to go. All right, so let's listen to how the group explores this emotional aspect of the pain of alone.
Can you guys share a time when you were really lonely? I know that's a little bit vulnerable, but I think that would help all of us at the table to hear, yeah, we get lonely. We've really experienced the pain of alone.
March 1995, my first teaching trip to Moscow, and we landed in Moscow about midnight on Friday night, and Saturday I was at the building by myself because everybody was gone for the weekend. And this was the first time I'd ever been out of the country away from Marlene. And it was hard. Yeah, it was hard.
Yeah.
I'm thinking back of a time when I was home with my wife, Di, but she was in a condition where her care was entirely dependent upon me. And the fear that I felt, so what happens if suddenly I have an accident, or I drop dead, or whatever. And there were not provisions, there wasn't a plan in place, you know, for Di. And I just felt for her like I was leaving her so exposed.
Wow.
And there was a terror in me.
So you're really touching on sadness, Bill, and Mart, you're touching on fear.
October 31st, 2013, when I was fired from a job. And being fired meant really losing all of the close friends that Rebecca and I had too, because we had unwisely only invested in this community within this work culture. Then over time, a few of those friendships were reignited, and there was a few there that we felt isolated from, but they never isolated us. And so it was more of just the feeling of being isolated from them, even though very clearly they communicated to us that they loved us and we're not, we're still friends. But yeah, that was a long season of, even after I got another job, still feeling that isolation of those relationships.
Sadness, fear, isolation, grief. I remember in 2001, I got to get my date in there too, flying to my mother's deathbed. And I wondered if I'd get there in time. I really wondered because we'd had a very estranged relationship as I was healing from some very difficult elements in our relationship. I wondered what, if any, kind of healing and forgiveness could happen. And so I was worried. I was anxious, very, very anxious. So I'm wanting us to isolate the emotions that came in each of these situations because today we're completing our week on the pain of alone. We've looked at relational and vocational and physical aloneness, loneliness. And today's emotional, mm-hmm. because there are strong emotions that rivet. And we've had these in all of our conversations this sure. week. The pain of alone is an emotional experience. Big songs have been written about this over the yeah. eons, tons of songs, country western songs. Hank Williams wrote a song that Elvis Presley also sang, "I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry." I love this. Listen to this. "Hear that lonesome whippoorwill. He sounds too blue to fly. The midnight train is whining low. I'm so lonesome I could cry. I've never seen a night so long when time goes crawling by. The moon just went behind the clouds to hide its face and cry." This is heavy. I know. You know, this week has been a heavy week. Mm-hmm. And I have wanted to intentionally wade into the waters of scriptures that express, just like the Hank Williams song, but even more beautifully, the reality that yeah. we live in a world that is full of the pain of alone.
Hmm. I think that's been really good, because so much of Christianity can be presented with bells and whistles and happiness and joy, and the scriptures are full of loneliness.
Scripture really does bracket the ultimate expression of emotional pain in a psalm, probably from David, and in Jesus's night before the cross and his hanging on the cross. There is an amazing expression of emotional pain that I hope helps us at the table, but also people who are listening who do have it really difficult. So we're going to read Psalm 22 and listen to the pain here, and then we'll look at how Jesus very similarly suffered to provide a way out of this pain for us. Bill, would you start Psalm 22 and we'll just go around?
Sure. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest.
Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame.
Let's pause for a minute. These words are very familiar. My God, why have you forsaken me? What do we know about those words?
Jesus quotes them later.
Jesus quotes them when he's on the cross and feeling very separated from his Father, suffering deeply. And yet the psalmist comes back and he says, is he talking about the past for Israel? He says, they cried out to you and were saved. In you they put their trust and they were not put to shame. There's a hope here. Okay, let's continue on. Verse 6, Mart.
Yeah, he writes, but I am a worm and not a man. I'm scorned and despised by all. Everyone who sees me mocks me. They sneer and shake their heads, saying, is this the one who relies on the Lord? And let the Lord save him. If the Lord loves him so much, let the Lord rescue him.
Oh my goodness. Have anybody experienced that? I'm the one who's serving you, God. How can you let me endure this loneliness? Okay, then verse 9, yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth, I was cast on you. From my mother's womb, you've been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near and there's no one to help. He goes on, and we won't continue. There's just more and more rich expression of loneliness, being a worm, being scorned by everybody. He'll say in verses 14 and 15 that he's poured out like water. His bones are out of joint. His heart is turned to wax. His mouth is dried up. Again, it echoes Jesus' moment on the cross, doesn't it? A cry for God to be near. Remembering that this is the Old Testament and hundreds of years later, it's fascinating to see Jesus suffering in exact this way on the cross. Mm-hmm. Let's look for just a second at Matthew 27, 45 to 46, and listen to Jesus' pain, his emotional pain, as he hangs on the cross.
From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?
And this word forsaken really means deserted, abandoned. Have you ever felt deserted or abandoned? What does it do for us as we have this conversation about the most lonely times we've ever experienced, to see Jesus on the cross experiencing what he describes as God forsaking him, abandoning him?
The answer has to be that it's not about that moment, but it's showing us how deep and dark it can be just before hope breaks out of the grave, so that ultimately it doesn't end there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talk a lot about how Psalm 22 is a song of the cross and how it so perfectly pictures the cross hundreds of years before crucifixion was invented.
Boggles our minds, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But David didn't know any of that. All he knew was that his pain was really, really real. And when Jesus takes that psalm on the cross to himself, it's not just to say, okay, now you scholars look back and see how this fulfills and predicts. No, it's because his pain was really, really real too.
Yeah.
And it's that identification with our suffering that David experienced in his own day and Jesus experienced in his.
Mm. Yeah, he's using the Psalms the way so many generations have used the Psalms. Mm-hmm. The reason they're so appealing, we see ourselves in them.
Yeah, that's right.
We see ourselves in, yes, the high moments, but just as much in the painful moments.
Maybe more.
Maybe more.
Mm. And Jesus himself also foreshadows the hope that we know is there. He's hanging on the cross and he's crying out, God, why have you forsaken me? But just a little while earlier, as he's in the upper room leading his beloved disciples, preparing them for his exit, in John 16:32, he says, a time is coming, and in fact has come, where you will be scattered each to your own home. You will leave me all alone, Jesus says. Yet, I am not alone, for my Father is with me. As he hangs crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? I think he also holds to the reality that the Father is with him in some way. And similarly, as we continue on, we're going to discover just what that means for us in our pain of alone.
Yeah, even Jesus was no stranger to the pain of alone. And I hope you'll make plans to join us again next week as we see how God provides for us in our loneliness. The story doesn't end with, my God, why have you forsaken me? Well, this is Discover the Word, the daily small group Bible study from Our Daily Bread Ministries. You're at the table with Mark DeHaan, Alisa Morgan, Bill Crowder, and Daniel Ryan Day. And we are wrapping up week one of our series, You Are Not Alone. Our focus this week has been on the pain of alone, a pain we're all pretty familiar with. And I hope that in recognizing and acknowledging that, that you found help. And if you have a few moments this weekend, I encourage you to head over to discovertheword.org and take some time to explore the rest of our program archives. You can listen to the series we're working on right now. You can revisit another favorite, or you can discover something new. And the archive goes way back. I mean, hundreds of series, thousands of programs. And if you're familiar with podcasting apps, then go ahead and add Discover the Word to your lineup. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Just subscribe or follow to have Discover the Word sent to your smartphone or tablet each day. Now, these daily Bible studies through Discover the Word are made possible because grateful friends like you give voluntary donations to cover the costs. Your giving helps make the life-changing wisdom of the Bible understandable and accessible to people all around the world. You can give a one-time gift, or you can sign up to become a monthly partner when you go online to discovertheword.org. Click the Donate button. And don't forget that every Monday, Discover the Word sends out a helpful study email to help you prep for the upcoming week of conversations. And so if you haven't signed up already, just go online to discovertheword.org and sign up there. The email for week two of this series on Alone will be a great resource for you to have. Well, I'm Brian Hedinga, inviting you to join us again next week when we continue our series called You Are Not Alone. We've spent this week identifying examples of loneliness in Scripture and often seeing ourselves in the pages. Now, next week, Mart, Elisa, Bill, and Daniel are going to shift our focus to see God's provision in our loneliness. I hope you have a great weekend and that we'll see you on Monday here on Discover the Word. Discover the Word is provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.